Let me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but again, we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. For our guests or visitors, they're always put an outline of the lesson in the bulletin. You're very welcome to follow along as we make the presentation or give the sermon this morning. You'll notice in the outline, there's not any personal comments or commentary. It's just a scriptural outline. So I'm going to do a lot of just Bible reading in our lesson this morning under the main heading of Better Than Sacrifice Only. It's kind of an interesting theme and wording that is expressed throughout the Old and even New Testament. So if you look and just look at the seven things that are better than sacrifice. Number one, righteousness and justice. Second, love, loving God with all of our heart, better than just sacrifice only. Number three, mercy. Number four, from the same scripture, knowledge of God. Number five, praise or thanksgiving. Number six, humility. Number seven, obedience. So these are some of the things that we'll look at in our lesson this morning. When we mention sacrifice, it's certainly good and it's certainly needed. The lesson is not designed to say eliminate your sacrifice to God. It's simply saying there's something better or something to be added to it. But certainly not separated or excluded in our life. Number one, from Proverbs 21, verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Certainly sacrifice is acceptable. But along with it, God says, I'd like to see some justice and judgment in our relationship, not only to one another, but to God. In prophetic writing, I put these in your notes. In Jeremiah 9, verse 24, it says, but him that glorieth, let him glory in this. All right, here it is. What do we glory in? That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Same thing in Isaiah, another prophet of God. Isaiah 1:11. So God asked the question through Isaiah, what's the purpose of the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What's the purpose of all those sacrifices? The rituals that we go through, says the Lord. He says, I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and lambs and goats. Really? So in verse 17, he gives almost a commentary. Isaiah said, wash you, make you clean, put away your evil doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. You see, the problem that Isaiah's congregation had in their sacrifices, they were giving God the leftovers of the bulls and the goats and the lambs. They were giving God less than the best. After they reap what they wanted, they say, oh, okay, let's give that in sacrifice to God. And God says, oh, I don't like that burnt offering. I don't like that sacrifice. What's left over? You're giving me second choice. We're probably thinking, yeah, but God, I'm giving you a choice. I am giving you a sacrifice. God says, oh, but that's not the purpose, the intent. In Micah 6, verse 6, wherewith shall we come before the Lord? Let's make our presentation before the Lord and bow before the Most High. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? 10,000 rivers of oil? That's pretty good, isn't it? All those rams and all the oil? Even shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Yeah. Jesus takes up the same issue. I put that in your introduction text. He pronounces a woe to the scribes and the Pharisees. Calls them hypocrites. Why? And this is Jesus' estimation of his audience. He says, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. That's a good thing. You're very ritualistic. You're sacrificing. We pay the tithes. But he continues, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. These you ought to have done. But here's the lesson. But not to leave the others undone. God, certainly God wants sacrifice. He wants us to put our heart in it. We haven't sung a song for a long time, but oh, how I love Jesus. We can make our declaration, but we want to have the emotion in it at the same time. Yeah, we have our attendance. We've made our journey. We've sacrificed to get here. But now put your heart into it. I delight in the sacrifice, but more. Something weightier. Number two, the scribe who comes to Jesus wants to know what's the best that I can give. what do you demand, Jesus? And so Jesus replies, "Oh, there are two commandments." And he asks the scribe, "Do you know what they are?" And he says, "Oh, yes, to love Him, meaning God, with all the heart, with all the understanding of the soul, and all your strength." And to love your neighbors yourself. And then the scribe added, and that's more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. As much as God demands what we sacrifice in presenting ourselves before Him, He wants our love, our consideration of our neighbor, than just going through the motions. Oh yeah, I wrote my check. I was here. Got a star by not my name on the attendance chart. Got that gold, the gold star. I had perfect attendance for the month. Yeah, but how do you feel about that? Even in 1 Corinthians 13, the opening verses, the Apostle Paul stresses the importance of love. You can have the tongues of men and of angels. That's pretty good. But if you don't have love, you're a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. See, there's something better even than the tongues of angels. Angelic, heavenly language. But it doesn't have love. See, it's something better than just a heavenly language. So someone said, well, I have the gift of prophecy. I know I have all knowledge of all mysteries. Well, good, but if you don't have love, just go through the motions. That might be important. A good thing to have that information. So if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, you only do that once. But if it's without love, wait a minute, God, I made the ultimate sacrifice. I gave my life. Yeah, but your heart wasn't in it. I'll take God's love. I want the sacrifice, but I want you. I want you. Number three and number four are both taken from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. For I desired mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. More than. You see, it was easy for even Hosea's people to offer their sacrifices and then just go their way. Almost like a checklist. Oh, I got that one done. I'm gone. God, I'll catch you the next time there's a requirement. It's a Christian life. Not just a to-do list that we check off and then we can hang up our Christian coat. More than sacrifice. That's the lesson. Mercy. Love mercy. In Micah 6, verse 8, what does the Lord require of you? Do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly. And then the other one in Hosea 6, verse 6, the second part of the verse. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. That's what I desire. Knowledge of God. You see, in the days of Hosea, people had a problem in the land because they set aside their knowledge of God. Even today, people say, I think I know what God wants. Don't do it. It'll take it to heart. So Hosea says in Hosea 4, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. I want to know what God requires. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. The Lord has a problem with the inhabitants of the land. He says there's no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. Verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What destruction? So God says, yeah, that sacrifice is good, but I want you to know me. Know me. And so even today, well, I didn't put this in your notes, but in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, it says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's the admonition. Knowledge. So I'm never hesitant to encourage you to attend Bible class. Not embarrassed to exhort you to do more than just the worship assembly. I'm going to back off from that one. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me press on. I want to belabor that point just a little, but that's all right. I'll move on. Appreciate your attendance. But you can do more. Okay. Number 5, don't be satisfied with attendance in 1 hour a week. And a lot of times I let you out early, it's not even an hour. Not even an hour.
Yeah, it will.
You did know we're assembling again tonight, don't you? Wednesday night, you knew that, didn't you? People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I just want to say it one more time. Number 5, Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs. Wow. Praising and thanksgiving is better than what you might consider the best sacrifice. Wait a minute, the bull that I'm offering has horns. Yeah. What about praise and thanksgiving? Oh, but God, did you see what I brought? Yeah. Put your heart into it. Psalm 116, verse 17. I'll offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And call upon the name of the Lord. In Hebrews 13, verse 16. Put that one in your notes. By him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Let's do that. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto him. There may be many sacrifices that we can offer, but don't forget thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Number 6, in Psalm 51, in David's penitent psalm, comes to God and write with these words, says, you desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. In other words, that's all you require for sacrifice. And you've got, God, you've let me off easy, because I can give you the change out of my pocket or whatever else. You delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken and broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Humility. You see, the lambs and the bullocks and the flocks and the herds, that was an easy offering. That's easy. Oh, God, you attendance 1 hour a week? Yeah, I'm in. Come. Oh, yeah, I'll take that. Oh, wait a minute, there's more. More than just an hour a week. What do you want? What a penitent heart. Last one, number 7. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 is in the text that was read to us this morning. Very familiar story, but learned the lesson from the story that was read to us this morning. In 1 Samuel 15, I'll highlight verse 22 because that's what our theme of the lesson is this morning. Samuel's the prophet. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Good question. God, what are you most pleased with? Sacrifices or in obeying your voice? Samuel answered his own question. Samuel says, oh, here's the answer. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or hear than the fat of rams. You see, God's word to Samuel that to give to Saul back in verse 3. Says Saul, when King Saul said, Samuel said to Saul, when you go to battle, I want you to smite Amalek. Destroy all they have. Spare not. I can't misunderstand that. This is what I want you to do. Saul disobeys. He might have, if he thinks he had good intentions, they were misguided. And it was not pleasing to God. So when Saul comes back from battle, first thing Saul says in verse 13, Saul said to Samuel, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I perform the commandment of the Lord. Well, he brought back King Agag. He brought back what he considered the best of the flocks and the herds. King Saul says in verse 15, oh, we've spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to God. Well, isn't sacrifice a good thing? Yeah, but not if God doesn't want it. Not if you're adding to the, or changing God's instructions. That's not good. Good intentions or not. Well-meaning or not. If God says, I don't want it, you don't give it to him. And God specifically said, I don't want you to bring back King Agag. I don't want you to bring back the best of the flocks and the herds. I don't want your good intention. I don't want your well-meaning sacrifice. I don't want it, God said through Samuel. But that's what a lot of people are giving to God, is their what they think God wants instead of listening to the voice of God. So Saul says, well, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel says, then why do I hear the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle? You performed the commandment of the Lord? Really? Really? So Samuel gives the final verdict. The Lord has taken the kingdom from you this day. Right now. You're done, Saul. Verse 30, to Saul's credit, he said, I've sinned. That's right. I've sinned. So the lesson is that God still puts a high value on exact obedience. Yeah. Don't change what God has specifically required of us. But we can't change it, no matter how sincere, no matter how well-intentioned. Illustration, I'll close with this one. Jesus said, put that one in your notes, either. In John chapter 8, verse 30, it says, as he spake these words, or as Jesus spoke these words, many believed on him. I thought, oh, what a great response. Many believed on him. But the verse continues. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if, here's the condition, you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. It's the truth that shall make you free. Jesus, these Jews, it says these Jews believe on you. Don't mess it up. Don't make it any harder. Don't put any pressure on them. They believe your message, Jesus, that you're the Christ. Jesus says to those Jews who believe, he didn't say that's sufficient. He didn't say attaboy. If you continue now in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Sounds like obedience is pretty important, doesn't it? But also to continue in the word, to put our heart into it. But does God require sacrifice? Absolutely. Does God want our attendance or our contribution? Yeah, our prayers, our ministry? Yeah, that's right. But he also wants the better than and the weightier matters of the law, meaning he wants our heart, he wants us to put our heart into it, to do more than just the rituals or the expectations that we can just kind of do a checklist on. Better than sacrifice. Brethren, the message is don't be satisfied with your sacrifice. With your 1 hour. Don't be satisfied with your 1 hour sacrifice. Making the journey. Got up earlier than I used to. I got back on that point again. Let me close. That's the lesson. Yeah, we need to do it. That's the opening text in the introduction. Yeah, you need to do this, but something more. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Encourage you not only in Christian living, but to become a Christian. If you haven't done so already, we've got a simple plan or simple formula. Now hear the word of God. That's right. You need to have knowledge. Then second, you need to believe that message. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe. Must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Must believe. And then number three, you'll need to repent, because Jesus said it in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Repent or we'll perish. So we add repentance to that plan or that. And then we'll need to confess our faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached to him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian stopped Philip in his sermon, a sermon on Jesus. He says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized. Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that confession. Philip just stopped the chariot. Stopped. They both went down into the water and Philip baptized. They were baptized. So you need to hear the good news. Believe it. Willing to turn your life around, repentance. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son and be baptized. And that's the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Old things become new. Right? From this point on, now you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Knowledge. So let's stand together and sing the song that this is selected for us.